Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. It's the Sunday show, Talladega Cup Series. Or maybe it's the Monday show if it rains all day. Either way, the picks are going to remain the same. You can see the spreadsheet on your screen. If you want to get access to that spreadsheet, go to my website, RaceForThePrize.com. You don't really have to. But if you just Venmo or PayPal or Cash App, 30 bucks, I'll give you all the sheets for May. And then I'll throw in Talladega, and I'll throw in Dover, by the way, if it's raining all day and you want something to do because you've gone through your research. The Dover podcast will pop up later on Sunday night. But today we're talking about Talladega. You can see ceiling projections on your screen. Clearly, anyone can win this race. It doesn't take a mathematician, a wizard, a fantasy NASCAR guru to project that Michael McDowell can win, Austin Cindric can win, even Todd Gilliland can win. And they can get Hulk points or Dominator points, lead laps in the process. And they can get over the threshold of 54 fantasy points, which is generally our cut line for an optimal lineup or a winning lineup. But the question you have to ask yourself, your approach is, if we run this race 100 times or 1,000 times, how likely is that scenario? So then you run, all right, how many times do they have a ceiling day? And then you compare and contrast that to a driver starting in the back and say, all right, a guy starting 25th, survives the chaos and carnage, gets to the front, gets over the threshold. Which driver is more likely, more often than not, to get over the threshold? And clearly it's going to be the stack in the back driver. And so while we can see that some of these drivers in the top, you can see the flame indicates that they're very likely or they can get above the threshold, I don't think McDowell, Cindric, and Gilliland, even if they win the race, are going to necessarily exceed that number and be optimal or even winning plays. But you can see with the flame that calculates and says, all right, this driver can get over that threshold. But the question is, how often does the driver get over that threshold? And I would argue the driver starting in the back, and I don't even think it's much of an argument, will get over that threshold if you run the race 100 or 1,000 times. And we can play the percentages, and we can clearly see the percentages. One of the things that I've shown you throughout the week, because we have all the previous optimal lineups, we can see here that drivers starting in the top 10 since the inception of DraftKings in 2015, it's very unlikely. Pole sitter only two times has been in the optimal lineup. They just can't score place differential points. Sure, they can get finishing points, they can get hog points or dominator points, but being shut out or not having access to place differential points simply just makes them not likely candidates. They can get there, but you look at a pretty large sample size that we have, they don't get there very often. So it makes sense to chase drivers that are more likely to get over the threshold, have a higher probability of consistently getting over the threshold. Cool, we've got that. Let's just run through some drivers, talk about what we're doing for Talladega. Like the video. Hit that right now. You've been doing a really good job about it. Thank you for coming over to this channel. Really appreciate it. Love you guys. We're growing. It's growing. I'm glad that you're a part of us. One of us. One of us. You're becoming part of the movement as we move. You got an elliptical treadmill like me. You're rucking. You got a sauna suit on. What are you doing? Maybe you're sitting stationary. That's completely fine. Thank you for sharing your time with me, and I'll try to make it easy for you. Save you time. Help you make picks. Make it worth your while. Leave a like, subscribe, share. Think about purchasing that sheet. Cindric, I think your first three drivers, no one's going to go to these guys. I don't even have them projected getting over that 54 cut. And you can see the cut on the sheet throughout the years. 54 is pretty much going to be your spot. Again, oh, wait, sorry. Public service announcement. Contractually obligated to read the following line to you. Rule number one, stack in the back. Rule number two, 30 to 10 to win. That generally gives you around 50 fantasy points. 29 to 9, 28 to 8. That'll help you narrow down some of those picks in the back while you're stacking in the back and deciding, all right, which of these drivers in my small pool of drivers starting in the back can get over the threshold. General rule of thumb, 30 to 10 to win. If you don't see a maximizing finishing position, like for example, we go down to BJ McLeod, 37 to 17, I guess, would be where you would spot that. Can you get him into 17th? I would argue that you're going to need a little bit more chaos, spice, carnage, craziness for him to get past the 17 mark. if this race is a little more tame, if we don't take out more than half of the field, I believe it's hard for him to get over that 17th threshold. Pretty tough for me. Same thing with Hosover. I got him at 35-15. He's below the threshold. I know that's pretty close. 35-15, that's 50 fantasy points. But I expect this to need just a little bit more. He can have a good day. Top 20 DFS score. Top 15 DFS score. But with 38 drivers in the field, I think that one or two will just score a little bit more. That's up to you. But the general rule of thumb is 30-10 to win. So he's pretty close to that. But does someone have a little bit better, a little bit more finishing position? That's really what we're discussing when we talk about 30-10. It's mainly that 10 on the back end. Can that driver maximize finishing position? Don't think BJ can necessarily do that. Hosover, where? Doesn't completely eliminate everybody. And then last, don't try to build the optimal lineup. Try to build the winning lineup. And that is especially prudent when we look at drivers starting up in the front. Yes, these drivers starting in the top 10, top 15, can clear the threshold, can win the race. It could be a part of the optimal lineup. But there will more than likely be a pivot that scores just a couple more points lower that will factor into the winning lineup. And that driver is going to be safer in terms of floor if you want to cash. And that driver will have a higher probability of getting into the winning lineup. 100,000 races. How many times do you want to run it in your sim? The guy in the back is going to pop more often than the guy up front. And so don't necessarily chase. Be cute. Get these guys up front. I'm sure you're going to hear about them today on live shows because there's nothing else to talk about. Everything has been covered. Everything was covered years ago. The Fantasy NASCAR show, the podcast, is a three-minute show. It is stack in the back, 30-10 to win. Don't try to build the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. All right, have a good Sunday, folks. That's the end. And that's where I should cut this off now. But I'm going to keep going because you expect more, because you want more. Because the more I talk, the more likely I am to sell spreadsheets. Just the way that it works. Got to hit those three D's. Say it with me. Diapers, daycare, and Mickey D's. Especially the Mickey D's. Maybe this will be a Mickey D Sunday. Son did want a Sunday yesterday. I was shocked when we went to Core Life. It's like, yeah, give me the green smoothie. He is not going to eat this. I didn't say anything out loud. I knew he wasn't going to drink it. My wife was excited. You know, she was optimistic. Can't falter for that. He sees the green, like, oh, this looks neat. Oh, it's like a slushy. Great. Drinks it. First part, yum. Second part, ugh. You know that. It was the green. He likes the bananas. There's enough sugar in it. But that aftertaste, that back end of whatever it is, kale or broccoli, whatever they throw in there, not necessarily my five-year-old's cup of tea. He's like, can we just take the green out? Not the way it works, bud. You want a milkshake, don't you? Let's go get a Grimace shake. Let's win a GPP, get a Grimace shake. Anyway, that's why I'm here talking. But I'm also here talking because I want to save time and help you out, make it very easy for you. So again, you're going to hear throughout the day people talking about these drivers and considering these drivers. I am not going to do that to you. I am not. I am your shepherd, and I'm not going to lead you down that path. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to be cute. Stop it. Stop it. I want you to be ugly. I want you to make ugly picks. I want you to be rudimentary and play the drivers in the back and not feel ashamed for it. No, I've got to be a super DFS NASCAR nerd on the cutting edge, and I've got to consider the plays that no one else is going to play as I get out my abacus and my thousand saber sim calculations and run them. You don't need to do that. You want to do that next week at Dover? Do that next week at Dover. You want to get out the cork board and connect the lines to the pictures like Charlie looking for Pepe Silvi? Go for it. Next week. This week be dumb. This week be stupid. Dare to be stupid. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know it sounds crazy, but I want to hammer it in. Just play the drivers in the back. Don't do it. I know you're going to watch a live show. I know you're going to watch other podcasts, and they're going to talk about that because they have nothing to talk about. Just like I have nothing to talk about. I'm talking about nothing right now. Sort of, kind. Point being, don't play these drivers up front. Here we go. I'll make a case for not playing all the drivers up front. Yes, Kyle Busch can get there. Yes, Kyle Busch. Top fives in the last two at Atlanta. One at Talladega. Was it last season? Cool. Awesome. He's starting too close to the front. Can he get over the threshold? Yes, he can. Will he? No. Or maybe he will. But either way, even if he does, so will someone else in the back that was safer, that had a higher probability going into the race. I'm not playing him. Austin Dillon, I don't even think he gets over the threshold. I'm not playing him. Martin Truex Jr. has been terrible at super speedways. Could this be the one time he gets through? Fine. Great. He gets through. He's in the optimal lineup. But so do a handful of other drivers starting in the back that were much more probable plays. Why go in with one bullet? I mean, it's not really a one bullet thing, but just enter the contest with having the odds on your side. Same thing for Logano. We know he's had success at super speedways, maybe one of the best ever. Can he get over the threshold? Yes, he can. And he can get over the threshold probably a lot, more so than the drivers we've mentioned already. But still, the odds suggest that the drivers in the back will get there too, and will get over that 54-point cut more often than Logano. No need to go here. Buescher, he won a Daytona last year. I don't care. That's great. But he can get 7-place differential points, you're going to hear from another podcast. And he's right there close enough. He's plenty close enough. He can get to 60 fantasy points. But so can plenty of other drivers in the back. And they're going to get there more often than Buescher will. Just the facts. Elliott, he's a streaky driver. He wins a lot. He's won at Talladega. He can get 7-place differential points. Yes, he can. But I don't feel the need to go there. I don't feel the need to be cute. I don't feel the need to be different. Why do I have to try so hard to be different when it's already hard enough to get 6 drivers to survive this race? Isn't the burden already enough? Isn't my plate already full? Why put more challenges in your way? Why put more obstacles in your way? It may seem easy. I just got to pick 6 drivers that survive. It's not. And then on top of that, I need to pick 6 drivers to survive. And then I also need a driver that defies the odds and starts up front and actually wins the race. I mean, you're picking a driver that not only has to survive, you're then demanding, oh, and by the way, Chase, we need you to win too. Don't wreck. Win the race. You don't have that requirement on other drivers. The drivers in the back just, hey, don't wreck. Should work out for us. You're putting an extra stipulation. You're asking a little bit more. When you stack in the back, you ask for less. It's an easier route to success. Be blessed. Unless this turns into a mess, then I must confess that what I profess, as I digress in this podcast. Okay, I ran out of rhymes. Ryan Preece. I don't even really think that he leads a bunch. I don't see him leading the parade. We've talked a lot about Priest's past success at super speedways when he was a more conservative driver for JTG Daugherty, just getting solid finishes, not really pushing at the end. Still probably pretty good at this type of racing, but much more aggressive at the end, which on one part is what you want, because we want to maximize finishing position. But as he has done so, his finishes have resulted in not good finishes. So you got that. And then on top of it, he's just starting to close to the front. Alex Bowman is another perfect example of why I will not chase up front. Alex Bowman leading this race at the end of last fall. Doesn't wreck, but the Red Sea parts, the line split, and he goes from first to dead last. You can watch the replay. You can listen to my Talladega rant video where I go and lose my mind talking about movement. Trust me, believe me, I think that you do, or else you wouldn't be subscribed or sharing or liking these. But there's just so many things that can go wrong, and you need more things to go right for the drivers up front. I don't need to go there. Don't. But he can get 11-place differential points. He can, but there's drivers that can get 20-place differential points. There's drivers that can get 30-place differential points. And they can get 11-place differential points and not need to win the race. They can score more place differential and not have to get to the very front, which is not easy to do. Byron. I'm sure people are going to talk Byron up. But again, I'm not changing. Staying the same, baby. Same as I was. Same as I will ever be. I'm stacking in the back, 30-10 to win. Don't try to build the optimal lineup. Try to build the winning lineup. William Byron is an example of trying to build the optimal lineup. There is a strong case that will be made throughout the day that Byron can be optimal. He won at Atlanta. Bam. He's won at Daytona. Bam. I mean, what else is there to say? What else is there to say? I'll tell you what there is to say. I don't need to chase him. Let other people be cute. They can have him. He ends up scoring the most fantasy points. Great. When I'm thinking of drivers, I don't really care if you score the first, second, or third most fantasy points. And Byron has a clear shot at doing that. I'm more focused on just getting those guys in the top 10, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 most fantasy points. If I get the guys in there, if I get six guys to survive, I'm good. And if someone out there builds 150 lineups and they build the optimal lineup, well, more power to them. Awesome. But I don't need to do it. Not for me. Not this podcast. Agree to disagree? Fair enough. Bubba Wallace, again, another driver with plenty of success at super speedways, although he has been much better at Daytona than he has been at Talladega. He does have the Talladega rain-shortened win, blah, blah, blah. Can he get over the threshold and clear it by quite a few points? Yes, he can. And this is the moment where a lot of people say, well, if you want to consider, nope, I'm not going to do that to you. You will hear throughout the day. This is a spot where we can, nope. He's starting just close and nope. Can he be in there? Have we seen this happen? And again, we'll just go to our heat chart or whatever they call those things. You hear all kinds of fancy terms in the DFS industry. Well, we're seeing. Oops, sorry. Go to our heat chart. Well, we do kind of see some of these guys pop. We do. It can't happen. But I'd rather go to this Goldilocks zone. Rather play the percentages. I'd rather have a safer floor. There's plenty of good drivers to target. Plenty of ways to differentiate if you want. It's up to you. But you're going to hear. He's close enough. Nah. I don't need it. Ty Gibbs. Like, if I'm not playing Bubba Wallace at 14, I'm not playing Ty Gibbs at 15. Burton and SVG, just throw them out. Oh, this is where we get... Don't. Why? Why do you want to do that to yourself? Why do you want to put yourself through it? You want to go Galaxy Brain? Do it next week at Dover. I don't think you're going to need to. Next week, it should be very predictable. Green flag running. Practice lining up. Intermediate track data. Most of our season data is going to be highly predictive. Nashville, Dover. Texas data, all correlative. We won't need to go Galaxy Brain next week either. It might end up happening because everyone who listens to the podcast or listens to the shows probably will have some of the similar ideas, and then you're going to get cued on me, but whatever. Let's just focus on this week. Daniel Hemric, Tyler Reddick, maybe. So the argument for Reddick, this is where I will start to have conversations, is where do you draw your line in the sand? How are you building your player pool? When you are stacking in the back, what is the back to you? Is the back 20 and deeper? That's a general common line to draw a line in the sand and then pick from there. So one way to slightly differentiate if you feel necessary or slightly open it up is to tiptoe over that line. And Tyler Reddick would be one of those drivers. That's fine by me. You want to throw him in the pool. Can he get over the threshold? Yes. 64. That's with a second place finish. A top five from 18th. And he's going to be, let's just clinch that in and see if that's going to get us over the threshold. Oops, that's the wrong category to hit the five into. I got him winning, actually. Put him in fifth. Still at 54. That's close enough. So can he go 18-5? Yes, he can. Will he be right there? Winning lineup possibility? Yes. You just got to weigh the probabilities, though. And say, how likely is he to top five? Well, we can just look. Why not? We got the data. What is his top five rate at Super Speedways? He's got one at, I believe, Talladega. He's got one. Is that overall? Let's see. Well, his top five DFS rank is just once. Has he got a top five DFS score? That's no bueno. But he's got a top 10 four times for a 22%, which not terrible. But if we look in terms of just straight top 10s, restrictor plates, Daytona, Atlanta, top 10 finishes, 5 in 23 races, probably pushing it a little bit. If we look at all of his Daytonas, got one top five. Was that what, the Austin Dillon win for RCR? Hemric, probably too cute for me. Nemechek, I think I'd rather go with these big dogs. But he is in the pool. Maybe he gets lower ownership if you really are getting into the nitty gritty of that. Can he do 20 to 5? Yeah, that's pretty aggressive, though. That's very aggressive. I'd say he's more likely 20 to 10, and so I'd kick him out of my pool. The argument that would be made for Nemechek is between Reddick and right in front of Blaney, Kozlowski, Hamlin, he's going to be completely neglected, but he still has to get a top five. And while Legacy Motor Club has been poor this season, we do expect them to have decent super speedway cars. We know the history of RPM was always not that great over the last decade, but the one place that RPM did show up was at the super speedways. They have a couple wins. Would imagine their equipment's going to be okay. Nemechek has been okay at super speedways in the past. I believe he's got 2 8th-place finishes for front row back in 2020. But even then, an 8, that's not going to get it done on this slate. Blaney, Kozlowski, Hamlin, yes, yes, yes. Going to be the most popular. You want to avoid them? I don't think that's right. The conversation with these three is just how many do you want to play in your lineups? Do you want all three, two of three, or one of three? One of three will be the route to go in if you want to be different from other people. Maybe mix it up. You know, maybe ask yourself, what's the statistical probability that all three of the best picks avoid chaos? The argument that they do is that Blaney's the best super speedway racer at the moment. Hamlin's maybe the best overall time. And you can look at the data in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, raceforthepryse.com, $30 for the month of May. I'll throw in Talladega and Dover. And you can pour through all of their successes. But even with their successes, no one really is better than a 50% driver. Now you're going to see that these guys, you know, it's actually pretty impressive that he is optimal as often as he is, given that his starting position is always pretty close to the front. I talked about that in the previous podcast, so I don't really need to go over that. In terms of survival rate, finishing on the lead lap, finishing in the top 20, Blaney, 26% of the time, he wrecks out. So 74% of the time he is finishing. That makes him a very strong play. Same number for Denny Hamlin. It makes him a strong play. Kozlowski, a slightly higher wreck out rate, had that really terrible run for quite a while. But that is probably a decent stat to use if we are chasing place differential, guys that are going to survive the mayhem. Blaney and Hamlin, very successful at that. And then if we're talking about maximizing finishing position, because these guys are not 30 to 10 to wins, starting 21, 22, 23, we need them in the top five. That's fine because Blaney has your third best top five rate. Hamlin has the best top five rate. Top 10, we probably would ignore this because top 10 is not going to be good enough. We need a top five finish. But they clearly have the capabilities of getting that top five. If they survive, which they statistically tend to do, then we wholly expect Blaney and Hamlin to be there at the end, and then Keselowski to a lower degree. Keselowski being the third one, I would say, in ranking. So you want to get cuter, you go more BK. Has plenty of car. Find a Daytona last fall. Just a matter of avoiding the wrecks. Alfredo, although the Beard Motorsports car is RCR aligned and is solid equipment and has had its day occasionally in the past with Brendan Gaughan or Noah Gregson, but those were all pretty chaotic races. And even in those circumstances, Gaughan and Gregson were starting closer to the back. Don't see any reason why I go to Alfredo. Suarez is interesting because he is a driver that just never seems and never will ever get the respect that maybe he deserves. And it's never really going to be his fault. Did he struggle at JGR? Yes, he was rushed up when Carl Edwards just exited quickly. Got pushed out there. Jumped into SHR. Didn't really do much for Stuart Haas. But then again, as we take the zoomed out view or even any view you want from Stuart Haas Racing, as a team, as a whole, they were not really the best team in the books. And it's completely understandable because Hendrick's good. JGR is good. You're competing against the best. And it's completely acceptable that Stuart Haas Racing as a whole was not competitive. And that we understand that really it was Kevin Harvick's team was great and the rest were just kind of there. And when you understand that, then you realize that Suarez's seat time at SHR wasn't very productive because the team wasn't very good. But we get this idea, oh, well, Suarez blew his chance with JGR. He was rushed. He only blew his chance with SHR. It wasn't a very good team. The fact of the matter is that still is in the minds of most fantasy NASCAR players. And I know this is kind of a long, drawn-out way to get to it. But overall, that blemish remains. He will never get the respect that he probably deserves as a race car driver. And in DFS NASCAR, the result is he often is more likely to go lower owned. People are going to talk about Blaney, Keselowski, and Hamlin. Why is Suarez not in that conversation? He won at Atlanta this year. He has strong finishes at Atlanta. He's got an 11th place finish or better in the last three races at Talladega. Got up way before my alarm. I like playing Suarez. You want to give him the, he was in the Xfinity booth yesterday, boost too. Why not? Chase Briscoe. Also like playing Briscoe. Hasn't quite hit the max yet, but if you look at his Talladega runs, he's right there. He's surviving top 15s in five of the last six. If we're asking them to survive, we're asking them to survive. That is what he is doing. That is something we want. Well, the next question is, well, I need you to maximize finishing position. We absolutely do. He hasn't quite done that yet, but he does fit the first part of the equation. And then the second part, can he finish a little bit closer to the front? Yes, he can. That's there too. He's definitely on the board. He's over the threshold. Now, he may not clear the threshold of 54 by as much. If he gets to fifth, which is kind of high, but I think you get him to eighth, that's 56. Oh, man, it's just barely over the cut. That's fine. As long as you can get over the bar, you're over the bar. What we're not necessarily doing, like if you look at this as a high jump, it does not matter if you clear the bar by an inch or 10 feet. What we really want to see is how often do you clear the bar? You know, there's drivers starting up the front who could clear the bar by 10 feet to sail into the sky. But they could probably only do that one time. And then the other times they're tripping and falling and running into stuff. Whereas Briscoe never gets over the bar by much, But he gets over it and over it and over it and over it. That's what I'm thinking about. Hopefully that analogy kind of helps you. Justin Haley, down on Haley Street, where the grass is green and the girls love me. Little Nerf herder. I've forgotten the lyrics. Kind of remember the melody, though. Justin Haley. What can we say about this guy? Well, it's a Rick Ware car. We usually want to play a Rick Ware car starting further in the back, but these Ware cars have improved over the seasons. Getting to eighth, maybe a little bit of an aggressive move. Maybe he's more of a 10th. And so I would not fault you for saying, nah, I'm building a winning lineup, but he is on the fringe of a winning lineup. Could he get in an optimal lineup? Yes, he can with an 8th place. But that scenario is more wrecks and carnage, which it is Talladega. So that is there. But again, run the race 100 times, 1,000 times in your head. You don't really need to go buy a $200 a month fantasy NASCAR package or whatever those Sabre Sim simulations are. Nothing against Sabre Sim. I'm sure it really helps for the big dogs. That's great for them, especially in the other sports. But you don't have to run a simulation of 1,000, 10,000 races. You know in your head, like, you know, we run this race a bunch of times. I don't know how often Haley is hitting the number that I absolutely need him to hit. And even if he is hitting that number, the circumstances that unfold, why isn't another guy in a better position also hitting that number or also hitting something better? It's not a vacuum. It's not in isolation. You got to make sure that you think of it that way, too. When you're running those fake numbers in your head, how often does Haley hit? Okay, but how often does Haley hit in comparison to, say, Eric Jones? Run that in your head. Run a bunch of races. Haley 27, Jones started 28th. No computer needed. No AI needed. No, what's that thing that Elon Musk wants to hook up to your brain? Whatever. Watch too many Rogan podcasts, and now my brain is fried. I'm probably actually going to need one of those. I've forgotten everything I've ever learned. We watch so many podcasts, and there's so much information and content. And then you're like, oh, I heard, what did they, I remember it was really interesting. Everything you, there's so many that you just forget. Probably this podcast included. What did you say on that podcast you recorded on Monday? I'm going to go back and watch it. No, I'm sorry. I've already got like 7 in my queue. Can't go back. Can you just tell me why so you can forget again? Yes. Well, here's the truth. I've already forgotten what I said too because I've got 7 podcasts in my queue as well. Great. Why do we just keep listening to new podcasts? People piling into the sheet at 5:49 a.m. You can't see it on your... Well, look. I can put it up here. You'll see it. Look at these guys. What are you doing? What are you guys up in the morning for? It's 5:50 a.m. on Sunday. They're ready for some fantasy NASCAR. They're probably like, when's the podcast coming out? Soon, guys. Soon. We're working on it. I'm talking. The truth is, one of the reasons why I record this podcast while I ruck is that, you know, the more I'm talking, the more I'm thinking about data and having this discussion and conversation with you, the ruck just fades. The walk fades. The exercise doesn't matter. You just keep pushing and pushing and pushing because your mind's focused on something else. A little trick there. So maybe, and maybe that helps with you. As you listen to this podcast, you forget about, you know, whatever thing that you're grinding on until I mention it. Now you're like, oh, crap. The anxiety's back. Now I'm thinking about the stupid thing that I'm doing. Please start talking about NASCAR again. Thank you. Anyway, back to the conversation, Haley versus Jones. That's what you need to look at. Who hits more often? Obviously, it's going to be Jones. Barry, probably not going to get much heat. Yeah, you can get over that threshold. Yeah, 29-9, Stuart Haas racing car, good enough. Survive the chaos, pick the right lane at the end. Ownership's going to be probably lower because we know the guys, Blaney, Kozlowski, Hamlin, getting a lot. But I'm not even really that concerned about the ownership. Just throwing cards out there. As plenty of people have commented on the YouTube channel, stack in the back, throw crap at the wall, see what sticks. That's right. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Accept it, embrace it, enjoy it. Get mad when your guys don't come through. and then shake it off. It's okay. Talladega, have some fun, man. Get wild. As I watch the delayed race here, it's Verstappen coming to the end for the win. Once again. How about that? Zane Smith. Hasn't been the greatest season, but he did have a really good last race. Looks like Trackhouse finally said, all right, let's help our guy out. Maybe putting some funding towards his way. Maybe Spire's putting a little funding towards his way. It's not a complete just wasted ride out there turning laps. And they feel bad for the guy. Another narrative, if you want to throw it in. Trackhouse loves to party. They want wins. And Zane Smith isn't going to win any this season. But if there is a chance for Zane Smith to pull out a win, which he has done at Super Speedways in the Truck Series, then this would be the week. So if Trackhouse was ever going to slide a couple bucks his way, you know, Pitbull pulls out a wad of cash, throws it over to Spire, says, hey, give him a little bit more juice this week. Come on, Mr. Worldwide. Then this would be the week. And Trackhouse can celebrate, and Spire can celebrate another Super Speedway win with a young driver. Why not? 30-10 to win. He can get there. Corey LaJoy going to be pretty popular. The joy. The happiness. La joie. Yes, very successful. Fantasy NASCAR play. It's been optimal more than anybody else in the history of DFS NASCAR. Because he tends to start in the back, survives the wrecks, gets top five. No problem. Going to be super popular. You want to pivot? That's fine. But put him in your pool. Put him in some of your lineups. Why avoid the guy that has been more successful than others? Because other people are going to play him. Look, all right, you want to add as many stipulations to your plays as you want. That's fine by me. I'm going to try to stick to fewer stipulations, fewer restrictions, fewer what-ifs. I want six drivers that'll survive. You want to put more on your plate. You want to like make your process crazier. You want to make your life more difficult. Don't. That's my job here, is always to save you time, make it easy, and let you have some fun. And the easiest way to save time, make it easy, and have some fun is to simply pick six drivers that can make it to the end. Done. If you want to make a little bit more process to it, pick six drivers that can survive. Okay, how do I do that? Stack in the back. Six drivers that can survive, stacking in the back. 30-10 to win. You want to try to then, from that pool, try to find the guys that can maximize finishing position. LaJoy can do that. Last but not least, build the winning lineup, not the optimal lineup. He can score a lot of fantasy points. Will he score the most? Nah, I don't need it. I'm just trying to win. There you go. Same sense. You look at Ross Chastain. All right, can he survive? Yes. Does he fit the stack in the back? Yes. 30-10 to win? Yes. Can he get over the threshold and be in the winning lineup? Yes. Done. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Got Super Speedway wins, you got Super Speedway wrecks. Hey, that's pretty much par for the course. Are people scared of playing him at times because his wrecks seem to just become infamous, if not famous? We are all well aware of his shenanigans of the past, and maybe that scares people away, and we don't remember the wrecks of other drivers, and he's got the Wrecky Spinhouse name, sure. And so maybe that lowers his ownership. You factor that in, but really, we're just trying to be super simple, super rudimentary, not getting cute. We're not dressing up. We're ugly. We're tramps. We're hobos. We ain't got a bag of money. Okay. But we're having a long, singing our song side by side. Yeah, we're playing the bums. They're not bums. We're just playing it ugly, we're playing it stupid, we're playing it dumb, and in the end, when you win a bunch of money, and somebody else was cute, and they're sitting there in their fancy suit, and their fancy glasses, with their expensive computers and simulations, and running all these numbers, and then you, with the 211, cracked open with a pile of them in the back, smashed, spilled all over the floor, or whatever you're drinking, covered in Cheetos, pizza, slovenly laying on the couch. You just punched in a couple team drivers on your phone because they were in the back, and you win a boatload of cash, and that smarty pants is looking at you like you weren't supposed to win. And you're like, you just burp. You don't even respond. You don't even dignify it with a response, but you can't respond. You had the response. You just burp. Maybe fart a little bit. And you smile. Because life is good. You're eating pizza Cheetos, drinking that steel reserve, or whatever steel cylinder you got in your hand. Enjoying life. Having fun. It's Talladega. Stenhouse. Stack in the back. Yes. 30 to 10 to win. Yes. Can he get over the threshold? Get you a top 10 DFS score pretty easily. And it's not just that he can do it, and Chastain can do it, and LaJoy can do it. A lot can. But we run this race a bunch of times in our head. More often than not, they're going to be the ones that come through in the end. I hope this was helpful. I mean, look. Here it is on your screen. 30 starting position. The starting position of 30th. Could have said that better. 10 times, 7 times, 5 times, 10 times, 8 times. 987. 53099. Hey, what a podcast we're doing today. You got to like this thing, man. You got to subscribe, share, recruit more people to this mayhem, this chaos. This is Talladega. Boy, we are living up to it. And then as we wrap up, I don't believe you need to get to Ware or Hosover. Can they get over the threshold? I don't even think so. It's going to be close. But again, we run this race a bunch of times. How often do they get over the threshold? Then we run this race a bunch of times. How often do they get over this threshold? And in comparison to these drivers, and even if they do get over it, these guys get over it. And so they probably maximize finishing position. You know the story. Gregson, I'll take Gregson at 36. He's in the Stenhouse Chastain LaJoy category. BJ, as I already mentioned earlier, I don't really need to go there. Could he get there? Yes, but the percentages are lower. And then, hey, last guy we talk about is Larson. He will be very, very popular. And I'm sure the Galaxy Brains will lose their minds over this one. And so what I will do for you is put this here. Now, it's not like, oh, he's not playing Larson. No. To put the strike through on Larson is to simply say, you've got a driver starting 38th in good equipment. Playing. You're going to think too much about it being Kyle Larson. He never wins the super speedways. Bad luck. Look at those Atlanta finishes. His super speedway results aren't that great. And you're going to read a lot more into that than you may do for another driver. You're going to put some sort of added restrictions or stipulations on him because it's Kyle Larson. If you have a top driver for whatever reason, because of the equipment that he had wasn't legal, starting in the back, I just don't understand. I mean, I understand what's going to happen. It is DFS industry. We got to talk. But that's my advice. It doesn't mean take him out. Take me out. You say you don't know. Play Kyle Larson. Don't get cute. His ownership's going to be too high. All right. We will close the podcast, and this is good. What's the first thing we're trying to do? Just get six drivers to survive. All right. Larson can survive. Number one, does he fit the stack in the back? Yes. 30 to 10 to win. Hell, 38 to 18 he works. So yes. And again, does this kind of fit our criteria? I don't have to be optimal. I don't have to be cute. I just want winning picks. Yeah, he could survive finishing the top 15, and I'm good. He meets all those criteria. I'm done. I don't need any more analysis. Paralysis by analysis on its way on Sunday. And I am guilty of that, right? How long have I been talking? About to hit my number right now and max out the treadmill. So obviously, I've gone pretty well over. Thanks for joining me. Like, subscribe, share. Recruit people. I am blessed to have you guys as listeners. Share this thing on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. If you get a rain out, keep sharing it. Share and tell people, hey, it's rain delay. Check out this podcast. Hey, it's rain delay. Check out this podcast. Get other people in. And if you decide that you want to get the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet in May, $30, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Then I'll throw in Dover. I'll throw in Talladega. Check out the Dover Fantasy NASCAR podcast later tonight on Sunday. It'll come out for Cup Series and the Xfinity Series. They're ready. They're waiting on you. Exciting times, fun times here. Blessed to have you guys around. I really do love you. Trip the light. Fantastic.